interview with Jerry, J-E-R-E, Beasley, B-E-A-S-L-E-Y, Lieutenant Governor of Alabama, July 15th, 1974, Montgomery, Alabama.
What do you anticipate is going to happen in the next legislature with a brand new legislature that's unlike any other because of reapportionment? The majority of the members will be freshman members without prior legislative experience.
I think probably, if I had to, at this point, I'd say it's going to be a good legislative session, 75, because primarily the new senators who've been elected are people with a great deal of ability. I think it's going to be probably a better Senate. And as far as the House, you know, can't really tell what's going to happen in the House, even with experienced people, because of the number. And the rules are much different, and they operate under a completely more lax atmosphere. And normally, you really can't gauge their performance very accurately as far as individual numbers. I think the House will be very much like the last House.
I understand that in traditionally, the lieutenant governor appoints a majority of the members of both the rules and finance committees after conferring with the governor, that he, in effect, gets to choose or has a majority of at least of those committees.
Right. I think the rules, especially the rules committees, it's more important there perhaps than anywhere else, because that's where your programs have to get on the floor to have a chance to be passed, and the rules committee pretty well controls what gets on, what doesn't get on, as far as the important legislation.
That policy is based on tradition, am I correct?
It's tradition, also.
Is it written into the rules?
No. In fact, it's something that the administration comes with most of the programs in Alabama. The legislature comes with very, very few programs as far as proposals. And if the administration didn't have representation on the money committee, and also the rules committee, which sets special calendars, then they would have a pretty tough time getting the programs out to the floor. And as an end result, the legislature would do very little.
Is it your impression that the governor of this state has more control or influence over the legislature than just about any other state?
I'm not really familiar with other states. I don't think the governor has exercised any undue influence on the legislature, or has exercised any influence that was not in the best interest of the people since I've been here.
Yeah, but traditionally he has a hand in the selection of the officers of the Senate, the main chairman, is that right? Isn't that a little bit unlike other states?
I don't know. I really don't know what other states do in this particular. I know that the state of Florida had a great deal of reform in their legislature, and they also had a great deal of difficulty in the last few sessions. In fact, Alabama has a much higher percentage of bills passed than the state of Florida. And I'm not sure it's had any bad effects on the legislature. Depends on, I guess, the state. Alabama's legislature is not perhaps up to some of the rest of them as far as tools to work with, staffing. Committees have no staffing.
You anticipate the new legislature will get involved in that sort of better staffing?
I think they will. I think they're going to have to. And I think any governor would welcome this, because it takes a great deal of pressure off the administration. Because if the administration in Alabama didn't come with programs, you'd have a void there. More or less a vacuum, you'd have no programs. Or you'd have it be piecemeal, it'd be up to individual legislators rather than inserted in.
You're going to continue your effort to make this office full-time?
Well, I think every lieutenant governor's office in the country will be full-time, if not this time, in the very near future. And I would anticipate Alabama would be no different than any of the rest because of the complexities of government, the demands that are placed on the office, just like this morning. We've been here since 8 o'clock, and it's been a pretty well steady flow of activity. This has pretty well been the case since I've been here. I don't think you could operate any other way.
Has the governor given you any administrative responsibility?
back early in 71, I guess the first speech he made to the legislature, he defined more or less responsibilities of the office to work in the area of industrial development and also promoting the state generally. And of course, other things have come up due to unfortunate circumstances, such as the governor being shot. This has naturally increased the responsibilities in this direction, regardless of who might be sitting here.
Did you actually assume those responsibilities when he was...
During the summer months of 72, under the Constitution, he required to serve as governor after the governor's out of state for 20 days, or disabled. In this particular instance, it was because of the absence of the state. That was in 72.
Can I ask you something about this past primary?
Sure.
I didn't know Woods at all until I came to the state, and I'd never seen him before. First time I saw him on television, I told Jack I thought the station had thrown up the wrong slide. Yet he was able to get over 300, he was able to lead in the first primary, and he had 300,000 votes against you in the second. How do you interpret that vote? Is that an anti-Beasley vote, or was that a
I don't know. I would assume that he had some pro-Woods votes out of those 300,000. He spent about $1 million. Primary to media type campaign, and obviously if you're in office for 4 years, you're going to have some enemies, and I would assume that I have some. And as far as being an anti-voter, I really don't think so. In fact, I'm pretty well convinced if the campaign had lasted another week, we would defeat him probably twice the margin we did defeat him, which was 87,000, which was a pretty substantial victory considering the fact that he had led in the first primary. In fact, I guess that's one of the few times that has actually happened when it come a trail and reversed it.
Have you done any studies about the perceptions of him?
Of Woods?
Yeah. What is the? What, I'm just curious. I'm in the polling business for a long time. How do people perceive him?
As an honest, hard-working businessman that's not part of the establishment, so to speak. It's not scarred by Watergate. Not tainted by being an optimist and stuff.
How do they see him physically?
The physical appearance had no effect in this race, as far as adverse effect to him. In fact, it probably had a plus on it.
It did?
The war record, the scarred war hero, the fact that he made good in spite of his, if you call it a handicap,
Am I right, he's been increasing his plurality every time he ran for office? You think that's a pro-Woods vote?
I think it's a pro-Woods vote, probably an anti-establishment vote to some extent. Not necessarily aimed at me or anybody else, but just the fact that he's not in, won't be in.
Your polls, that people perceive you as establishment?
Yeah.
Was anything to suggest any psychological association of Woods with Wallace because both of them had overcome physical injury, severe physical injury?
I really don't know. Probably some, you probably find this to some extent, how much I don't know. I think there was very little sympathy for Woods. I think Wallace did get a sympathy vote. I don't think Woods really got what you call a pure sympathy vote, but it did have an effect. It did get in your votes, but I think it was more connected with the war than it was the injury.
Can you tell us a little bit about your political background?
I've been fairly active in several campaigns, starting probably back in 60, I guess you'd say 66 was the first real active participation in a statewide campaign. That was Lurleen Wallace's campaign for governor in 66. I was active in South Alabama, Parker, area coordinators. And 68, I was a state campaign manager for Jim Adams, who was in U.S. Senate in Alabama. And then I ran myself in 70 and was elected. That's about it.
Had you held any office before you ran?
Never run for any office prior to this.
How does Wallace's, we keep hearing about his organizational structure that he has, in effect, a Wallace coordinator in each county. And then what is it? What comes over that? I mean, is they report direct, or is there an area, regional coordinator in between?
We break it down in North Alabama, South Alabama, as opposed to Tennessee's East and West Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have an area coordinator, and then a county coordinator.
So how big, an area coordinator would cover how many counties?
Oh, probably, some people break it down in Northwest Alabama, Northeast, Birmingham, Montgomery, Southeast, Southwest, and Mobile, separately.
Does that stay on as a sort of permanent organization?
It has with Wallace.
And does patronage matters go through the coordinators?
Well, probably some. Your state senators usually have some say so, but your coordinator also does.
Well, has the coordinators, in effect, would they feel the function that in some other state might be the Democratic Party's function?
Oh, yes, if you had a two-party system, I suppose so. Probably so. Democratic Executive Committee has no function here like that.
And do the same people usually stay on these? I mean, with the coordinators in 1970 likely to be the same people in 1974?
Right. And some people use a committee, and the coordinator heads up the committee. And usually you have some new blood in the committee, you know. But the coordinators, by and large, stay the same if they want to, and if they function properly and so forth. Wallace lost something in 70 to Brooke.
It would be somewhat analogous then to the regular Democrats in Mississippi.
Possibly so. I'm not that familiar with
politically organizational set of books. In the sense that it's involved strictly with political matters within the state.
Correct.
And has no real connection with the Democratic Party as such.
Absolutely not. There would be some coordination in the fall election with the Democratic Party. Primaries. The campaign would be run by the Wallace organization, even in the fall, and in my case, by my people. And we have some overlap in there between the two organizations.
Do you have that same sort of coordinator in each county? And sometimes it just seems the Wallace people, and sometimes
well,
not.
In some cases, we had that this time in some of the counties. Tried not to because it's awful hard to do that. I had some who were very much interested in Jim Abbott's race this time. Of course, he had no opposition, so it posed no problem for us. And we needed him in a runoff, as it turned out.
Does Allen take any active role in state political matters?
Not really. Of course, he's been pretty helpful to Wallace, you know. But as far as...
playing your race, did he influence extend at all?
General election, probably assuming I had a tough race in the fall, I probably would. And, just like in 72, when John Sparkman had some pretty severe difficulties or a pretty tough race, everybody sort of came to his aid. Wallace, me, Adam, we all campaigned for him in the fall.
Now, how about the formal Democratic organization, Baptist group?
They also.
What do you think is going to be the impact on the state and on the Democratic Party with Wallace when Wallace leaves in 78? I think the senator just gets out.
Well, of course, you're assuming there that he won't leave in 76, which is, I think,
right.
A real possibility. In fact, I just got back from a Lieutenant Governor's Convention in New Mexico, and Wallace was the talk of the convention. And I'd say more so than probably even I anticipated.
Well, either way, suppose you...
What impact he'll have on the party
and the
state. Well, it's hard to say. Naturally, you'd have some carryover, I suppose, but I don't think it'd have any great effect as far as the state itself, as the operation of the state. Politics certainly has a marked impact because you're taking out the dominant figure for the past 12 years, 10 years.
who's gonna replace him?
Don't know. You have a lot of folks who certainly think they would be capable of replacing him, but again, that's something people can decide, because you don't transfer popularity or charisma or following or whatever.
But the way you see it, are the candidates going to be yourself and Baxley?
Oh, my guess is for governor in 78, you probably have 12 candidates, 10 to 12 candidates.
In the Democratic primary.
So the impact would be to open it wide up?
Possibly so, yeah.
What about Cornelia Wallace?
Pardon?
What about Cornelia Wallace?
I don't know.
In your race this fall, which is somewhat analogous to Allen's race in 72, where the potential at least of serious Republican opposition, which is the way Blunt would have had to be at least been perceived during that campaign, regardless of the outcome. Do you anticipate the same sort of broad-based support that Allen got?
You mean Sparkman?
Sparkman, excuse me.
Well, I really don't know, because I might have even thought about the fall too often much yet, and of course I don't know how serious the competition will be, or the candidate will be, how strong he will be. I think all the Democrats are pretty well band together in the fall. It's like Governor Wallace has opposition, probably as formidable as the man that I was running against. But I don't think he's got much of a chance. I don't think he thinks so. But you find that in Alabama, your Democrats fuss and fight during the primaries, and then when it's over, they get together and elect Democrats.
How significant a role and effective a role does organized labor play in Alabama?
Well, in my race, they played a pretty substantial role in the past race.
All right. You got their endorsement, am I correct?
Not the state endorsement. I got the endorsements of probably every local in the state.
Did the state endorse anybody?
In the first primary, they endorsed the man who ran third.
Then in the runoff?
In the runoff, they didn't endorse anybody, because they can't leave it. Once they've made an endorsement, they can't, in that race, they couldn't make another. But we had an endorsement of probably 28. Oh, I see. Like the Gaston Labor Council, which is probably the strongest in the state, made up of about 37 locals, different groups like steel workers, various communication workers, and so forth. And we probably have about every one of those endorsed, I suppose. And they work real hard, very effective.
How about campaign contributions?
They play a fairly insignificant role there.
But in terms of furnishing manpower and so forth, they're pretty good?
I'd say so. They were very helpful, most helpful to me. In fact, I doubt that I could have been elected without this time.
As you think back to 1970, young candidate never ran statewide before. How do you explain your election?
In 70?
Yeah. Isn't it usually the case that you run once, then you put yourself on the turnpike, and then you run again?
Yeah, that's normally the way it's done, but it's probably the combination of factors in 70. I ran against a pretty tough field in 70. Are you familiar with who ran back then? You had President Pro Tem of the Senate, who was residing at that time due to the absence of the Lieutenant Governor. You had Hugh Morrow from Birmingham, who was a state senator, who was the leader of the urban faction in the Senate. You had Tom Radney from Atlantic City, who was a senator, who was probably the leading proponent of liberalism in the state at that particular point. Had been very active with Kennedy, for example, and so forth. You had Jack Giles, who was a North Alabama senator, who had been grooming himself to run for a little while. Joe Money, who was in the House of Representatives, was pretty much a factor. And might have been another legislator or two, about nine candidates in the race. And it's a pretty tough field. We had probably the only organization in the race, a large carryover from 68 and that. We put together probably the best grassroots organization of any candidate that year, I thought. And I think this had more to do with me getting elected than anything I might have done.
Well, it's unusual in that, that election, but it was two young statewide office holders who really had never run, but didn't even know who was statewide. Yeah.
That's true.
I'm just curious, maybe there was some special circumstances.
I'm not aware of any. I assume.
Did it have a good organization?
I think that was the key to it. I probably got some anti-legislature type votes, but you had two other folks that fit the same description or categorization who didn't do very well, who ran eighth and ninth.
Is it your role in
the organization?
You were Allen's state campaign manager?
I actually put together his organization. He was an underdog, and I thought, you know, there's no question he's done a real outstanding job of it. He's been one of the real bright lights in Washington.
Right. Who did he beat?
He beat Armstead Selden, who was strong as in five of Wallace, and had the backing of very many Wallace people in the race.
How do you see yourself philosophically?
As far as being too conservative or whatever, or whatever. I don't know. I never have really tried to put myself in any particular pigeonhole. I feel that I'm conservative in some areas and probably moderately liberal in others.
Can you give me an example?
Well, I think probably certain areas of operating state government, I'd be considered somewhat of a liberal, like in the area of public education. I don't mean liberal in the sense of, well, maybe like some people would describe the term, but I don't have any set pattern. I feel like certain areas I'd be considered perhaps more moderate than I would conservative. Education would be probably the best example. I'd be, as far as funding, public education is.
How about on race?
I don't think race is any problem in the state right now. I don't think we have any racial problems.
You think it's been removed as an issue?
I think it has been removed, right. I don't think it was an issue at all in this race. But obviously, it was in '70 to some extent. You had some carryover in '70, and of course, in the governor's race in '70 was very much an issue. But it was really not in my race. And this time, it didn't were involved at all in any ways, I'm not aware of it. I don't think it will be in the future. At all. In fact, Alabama probably has a better climate insofar as the racial problems right now than most states anywhere around us are certainly at all.
What do you think will be the effect of the increased number of black legislators and blacks for the first time in the Senate?
I don't really think it had any effect insofar as having any effect on programs or any effect on performance. I think they'll just fit in as two of the 35 or something. Probably will do like the ones, the two blacks who served in the House in the past session. They served like everybody else and did a, I thought, a good job. And they ran against each other, one and one and one off, which is pretty interesting. I don't know either of the two. I've met Clemens, I've met Pearson. Well qualified and seem to be interested in serving. So I would say that they would. Well.
Some of the senators we talked to were genuinely puzzled, and at the end of that session, you didn't wish the clock ahead like others had done, but the both to discuss it. So both the bills and our legislation. Any reason for that?
Sure. If you can't get anything done in 4.5 months, you're not going to do it in a couple of hours after midnight on the last day. And they wound up and the tightest logjam than anybody could imagine, with more friction and chaos than probably anybody would imagine. And stopping that clock would have done nothing but add to the bad, so it didn't do any good. And the people who would complain about it were folks who didn't do a very good job themselves, most likely. And first of all, local bills could not have possibly come up for vote because of the procedure. And this is where anybody who's hiding behind a local bill is not telling the truth. Because the local bills were down the calendar, way down the calendar. And the only way you could have gotten them up to a vote would have been by unanimous consent of the Senate, not me, but the Senate. if I stopped the clock or anything else, I still took unanimous consent to get them up ahead of everything else. And that just wasn't going to happen because you had at least 10 senators who opposed to it. So, first of all, I told them the first day I was going to stop the clock. And I told them at least once on each of the last 3 days that I was going to stop the clock, including the morning we started.
Do they think they'll believe you in the future?
There's no question about that. And this is not the way to pass legislation, in my judgment. It's violating the law, in fact. I stopped the clock. And any bill that you passed after midnight on the 35th day, in my opinion, you'd have a terrific problem upholding. I don't plan to do anything in the future, and I don't think anybody's going to ask me to do anything in the future. It'd be my guess. But that didn't contribute at all to any failure of the session. The failures were pretty obvious at that time to people who were objective and ready to go to the
We've heard a number of people say that when you get a really difficult problem facing state government in Alabama, that nothing happens until the federal courts come up with a solution.
Well, you could find instances where I'm sure that's true, but on the other hand, you find many times when this has not been the case. But you know, federal courts have certainly stepped in many times. Mental health being the most recent reapportionment, at least a couple of times. But other cases where they're not accepted and they have regular parties. So I'm sure you can always make a case for the federal intervention. But that doesn't particularly interest me.
If you were elected governor of Alabama or became governor through some other means, What would be your priority list of things that you'd want to accomplish?
Well, first, I think the priority would have to be somewhat, maybe not necessarily different, but you have to take a different approach, assuming that you were elected then it's your administration. If you became governor for any other reason, then you'd have a little different situation, I would think. Assuming you were elected governor, I think the priority would have to be based on the situation at that time. We're talking about, say, 1978. Maybe some things have changed about it. Right now, you would have to set priorities somewhat along the lines of public education, one, continued industrial development of the state, two. And in that light, you have to look at it from not only the economic gain of the state, but the environmental problems that perhaps caused or related to the development. And then you've got some just social problems that you've got to recognize and do something about, and your mental health situation would fit in that category, I would think, and then with the prison system reform or upgrading or whatever, this is going to be a pretty tricky problem to the state or to any state, I expect. And your highway problems have a pretty high priority in Alabama.
How about the tax structure?
Well, the tax structure in the state, our problem in Alabama is not so much state taxation, but the federal taxes, the income taxes. We don't have such a restrictive tax structure in the state, in my opinion, as opposed to the federal tax structure. Property taxes, we've just gone through a pretty tough fight to have some type of reform there. Equalization. And if this works out, I think we'll come out of that in pretty good shape. Probably you're going to have some reduction in taxes in some areas. You're going to have some increases in rural property. And it's going to more or less balance out. And it's done in a way that I think it's going to be good for people in the long run. And that's the classification system, more or less the usage of the property.
Do you think the executive branch ought to be reorganized?
I think that you can stand a great deal of modernization in government generally. I think the executive branch will be reorganized. It's there was some limited reorganization in the last seventh recession, but it really didn't get to the guts of the problem. And I think we will have this eventually, and it'll be a tough thing. But there's need, there's no question about that. We have too many state officials, for example. I'm not elected officials.
That would take constitutional
reform.
You see that coming?
I'm not sure how soon we'll do this. The groundwork is already laid. It's just a question of carrying it out through the legislature. I think it will come back. We just had a judicial article adopted by the people, which is a constitutional provision of the judiciary now. I think we're going to see it in other branches also, including the legislature. And we have a lot that needs to be done there. One is quarters. If you made any type look at the legislative halls in Alabama or the facilities, you see that obviously you're pretty far down the line out of there as far as what's been done to upgrade the physical capabilities. So all of this is going to take money though, except the probably executive reorganization, probably save a bit of that over the years.
How much of an issue in the campaign were the allegations made against you of having private sources of support?
I really don't know. I don't think it really had any great effect. Maybe cumulative it did. Don't think we posted nothing wrong, first of all. And it was a problem. There was no question about that. I think any time you had a transition period that you would have that problem. You had a choice. And I took the direction that I thought was best for me, for people, and everybody else involved. Everything we did was public, for example. Everything was above board. All income that came in was placed in a fund. It was handled by a certified public accountant. Everything was made public. No funds were received of any large amounts, first of all, and no monies were received or in any way used that came from anybody, the business of the state, any corporation, or any person where you had a conflict of interest by receiving the money. It all came from just private individuals with no selfish interest, simply just to help. And secondly, the total amount was only $29,000 over a full period of time, so you weren't talking about any large amounts of money. And I don't really think it had serious effect in the campaign. I think people seized on that as an issue with people who were against me anyway. They were not that, it would have been something else.
What sort of a salary do you think the Lieutenant Governor's office should have?
Something less than the governor's. I'm not sure exactly what it should be. I don't really think I should be the person to say. Other states have ranging anywhere from 20,000 range to 37,000, 42,000 this time. I think you'd have to gear to the state. Certainly your chief executive should receive a top salary, which is not the case in Alabama. Are you aware of this?
No. The governor receives $25,000?
$25,000. The chief justice receives $35,000 now under the new bill. I think probably the attorney general received maybe $34,000.
Yeah, but he could have had it.
Pardon?
Wallace could have had it.
Oh, yeah, sure. No question.
That's a personal thing that he didn't.
Well, not really. He didn't veto a bill or anything like this. The legislature didn't pass the bill. So I'm not sure what he did. They gone downstairs. President Kerry.
How much does the governor get for mansion expenses?
I'm not really sure. It's several. They increased it last session, and I don't recall. It's a couple hundred thousand, probably. It's pretty good. But I think probably your salary is important because it does set the standard for the rest of the state.
How about the other constitutional offices? Oh. Secretary of State.
I don't know. It's 20,000, 21. That's probably. cabinet members get 19 feet.
Any state official can make as much as the salary as a football coach at University of Alabama?
I don't know what he makes, but I would doubt it. I think we're going to have to revise the salary structure when we have any type of changes as far as reorganization.
How do you feel about annual sessions?
Well, I favor annual sessions as a concept. The bill that passed the legislature that was voted down by the people was not a bill that I could have supported. I didn't support it for this reason. It didn't really cure the evils that it was designed to cure. It had an unlimited salary range for legislators. It had no calendar limitation as far as sessions each year. You could have gone indefinitely. This is what we have right now. It'd be, as far as I could see, I didn't see any great improvement by the bill, by the constitutional amendment. And the people sure didn't, because they voted down an overwhelming vote. If you had an annual session bill, I could support one that had calendar day limitations and set salaries, or at least a commission with some limitations to set salaries for that stuff. I do not like the annual budgeting. I think you have some problems there that we don't have at the present time. I would like to see the budget handled in, say, in the odd years, and have even years set aside for non-budgetary matters that normally would, as we have it right now, would come in the same session with the budgets. I think that'd be a big improvement.
Do you think you can overcome the tradition of the lieutenant governor when he gets elected as governor? One exception or something on the
line? Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure that is a tradition. I don't think anybody really considers
this. Well, it's a condition.
It's just the fact that you've had very few people who serve as lieutenant governor who probably had the public identity in the past. In fact, before 1968, the people of Alabama didn't know who lieutenant governor was. They had no idea who sat here. And normally, you don't get elected, you know, under those conditions. And today, there's no question that I don't have any identity problem at all in the state. In fact, at one point, I was second to Wallace in that particular regard. So I don't know. I think this is a new day. I don't think it really that you could relate the past to this situation. I don't think it's right at all.
Some of the people we talked to saw your remarks on the runoff election night about taxes and the alleged involvement in your campaign as the beginning of the 78 campaign together.
Not really. We might not be in the race in 78. We might have 10 others. So I don't plan to wage a 4-year campaign.
Did you think you would try to influence the race that much?
Do I think he did?
Yeah.
No question about it.
Through the use of his deputies and assistants?
His own personal involvement. He appeared at the Black Caucus with Woods. Made how many calls, I don't know. There's so many personal contacts around the state that obviously he was involved in it. Why, I don't know. But that, you know, that's over. He lost that one, so. I'm not going to worry about that for this 4 years. How soon he's going to run his office, I'm going to run mine. I think that each office has an obligation to voters to cooperate with others. And I think the person who does not see it that way or doesn't do it is going to be damaged in the eyes of the people, regardless of your personal feelings or your personal ambitions. Once you're elected, you're elected. When you're elected for 4 years, you're going to have to serve with the other people we elected in that 4-year period. He and I happen to fit into that situation where we don't have to get elected.
So you don't anticipate feuding for the board?
In fact, I think that would be sort of childish. I really don't officer is being either or something, probably did great damage to both of them.
Do you know if you have any other state that has two statewide office holders as young as the two of you?
I don't know. I'm not
what I'm trying to get at is it plus the fact that you've got two women serving in statewide office, which is also
three,
I'm sorry, unique, we think.
I think it is, yeah.
Curious about it.
You've got a situation there in the Secretary of State's office, auditor, the treasurer, where it's going to be awfully hard to ever defeat one of the incumbents if they happen to be a woman.
But that's unique.
It is unique.
In the country.
Yeah. And it's also somewhat unique. Probably we probably don't need one of those offices, obviously, as far as performing any type of useful function. But I wouldn't want to get into that too. People who go over, I was just a personal friend of mine. You'd have an awful hard time changing that, I guess. But if you combine those three options, it's certainly probably be better for the people.
We've been told more by several people also that Wallace didn't really get actively involved in the runoff campaign this year, but that he voted for you, and that was fairly commonly known that he was going to vote for you.
That would be my guess, and I'm not sure how common the knowledge was, but I would guess he did. In fact, I'm sure he did. But he also did not get involved. And when you think about it, I don't care how popular a man is, if he gets involved, you not only get his votes, you get the folks against you who wouldn't perhaps may or might not be against you simply because of the person. So while it'd be a great asset, it'd also be somewhat of a handicap.
Now, do you feel you got his quiet support now?
There's any question about that, yeah. Yeah, I'd say so.
Maybe local campaign managers and so forth.
Well, he and I have a great number of folks in common in the state. Just like in the runoff campaign, I guess we had most of the coordinators for Wallace at least voting for me. They're not actually working.
Would it be safe to presume that if Wallace wanted them to support Woods, they would have?
Oh, yes, no question about it. And then a very simple thing to do is spread the word that Woods is a man. I'll admit it was an awful tough race. There's no question about that. For me. I think a lot of folks looked at it as more or less voting for a governor other than lieutenant governor. In fact, that's what I ran into all of this stuff, especially on Ron. It was a tough campaign. There's never been another one like it, I don't think, except the Sydney governor's race, probably. This was very much a parallel with different issues. And I've never run against a man that had unlimited funds like Woods did. He spent more money than I figured you could spend in a lieutenant governor's race. And I spent more than I certainly wanted to spend. And we had an awful hard time raising. We didn't have any choice.
You say it's been $1 million?
It's been a little over $1 million, I'd say. We spent 300 and something thousand. Yeah, for every dollar I spent, he spent four, just from what I could see. And from what the TV folks tell me, the radio stations, he'd call them up and say double what I've got without asking.
Has there ever been a contest in this state below the office of government where they come by this
one? Not to my knowledge. Not to my knowledge. Back in 70, the man that I beat in runoff probably spent more than half. He outspent the rest of us just so much. It was obvious, you know. I think I probably, in my first election, spent less than $100,000 in the Democratic primary. We didn't use the media like we had to this time. We had a situation this time that probably hurt us in the first primary. The fact that people thought we didn't have much of a race on our hands at first, even though I knew that Richard Dominick, the state senator who ran, was going to be a formidable opponent. In fact, I thought he'd be the second man at first. And Woods had this built-in block of votes that he had carried over, and he ran a good race, a good media campaign at this time. Did very little personal politics with him as far as handshaking. Personal appearances, but he did a terrific job on the television.
Who handles this TV stuff?
I really don't know. I've heard somebody in California, but I really don't know.
Give me more questions. Is there anything else you wanted to comment on that we didn't cover?
What should we have asked you we didn't?
Oh, I don't know. I think you did a pretty good job of asking. I'm not sure what you're after, so I really couldn't ask that.
Well, we're doing a chapter on each state, and we're trying to get not only assessment of what happened in the last 25 years, but where politics is today and where we think it's going to go in the future.
Well, I can tell you this, as far as political campaigns go, no question in my mind, the approach to running has changed greatly.
You mean the emphasis on media?
Yeah, yeah. I think you've got to go in that direction right now. How much in the future, I don't know. I would guess, though, it would be in this but, for a while.
And that's your essential explanation for Wood's success, the media campaign rather than the personal?
Yeah, I think the personality had very little to do with it as far as Wood's, but I think the media campaign that he ran was very effective, extremely effective.
That suggests something about the nature of the Alabama voter then, too. Mm-hmm.
So what was he focusing on? I mean, was he projecting himself?
It's pro-Wallace. That would really be a good sign.
Was he doing the talking himself, or was there
no
voice over?
Was it all voiceover?
Yeah, mostly. He had some of his own, but not very little.
Or was he projecting his own? I mean, was he standing there or sitting there in front of the camera?
Some of it, yeah. I think the best stuff he had was short stuff instead of long shows. He had some 30-minute shows that I really didn't think had them. He probably did, and I just didn't see them. He had a real fine job on radio. 30 seconds and 60 second spots on top of it. Just really hammered home the message.
The message being that he was pro-Wallace? Was that the basic
message? Basically, this was it. That I'm going to help the governor not hurt him, which implied that I'd hurt him. And it implied that I would hurt him in the future in his condition, you know, in the wheelchair. And I think the rural vote